believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. It's nice to hear you.
Nice to hear you, too. Even though last week we had to end really quickly.
You know, and it's actually, as they say, nothing is in coincidence. It was interesting because someone pointed out to me that they were listening, and as I started talking about the concept of shofar, all of a sudden the fire alarm starts to go on.
Then came the shofar.
Then came the wake-up call.
Wake-up call. You're
for
right,
all of us.
Right, right. I didn't think about it. That's very interesting.
Neither did I. And then when the guy tells me, he says, you know, the coincidence that when you started speaking about it, the alarm went off and it hit me in the head. I'm like, you know what, hold on a second. Maybe God was talking to us with some wake-up call. You know what? Get up. Go from the basement, from your life, from the bottom, and
get up
to the top.
That's it.
So I thought that was something very, very interesting. But
I agree.
Probably let's just try and finish off quickly from last week, and then we'll go into customs and traditions.
Please go ahead.
You know, people always ask, why is Rosh Hashanah considered the Jewish New Year? You know, what actually occurred on the first Rosh Hashanah more than 5,000, over 5,700 and something years ago? What are we commemorating? We know God created the world in 6 days, and Adam and Eve, the first people, were formed on day 6. And Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of their creation. The question that many, many people ask is, why do we celebrate Rosh Hashanah and the beginning of the year on this day? It should be observed 6 days earlier, on the anniversary of the first day of creation.
Right.
And the answer is that creation of man enables us and enables the true purpose of creation to be fulfilled. Because God created a world that conceals His presence. We don't see godliness in the world. And He wants us to reveal Him. Now, only man, who is endowed with intelligence and freedom of choice, has the ability to accept God or reject Him. So on the day of this creation, Adam realized that God is the master of the universe. And he said to the other creations, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before God, our maker. So Rosh Hashanah is the day when we follow Adam's example and accept God's kingship over us and the entire world. So for this is the true head of the year, the time when God's goal in making the world started to be fulfilled. And therefore, this is the first day of the year of the Jewish calendar. Now, how do we accept God as the King? How do we accept God as our King of all kings? You know, I don't know if anyone saw or read yet, but in the News and Views, the Jewish newspaper that comes out every few months, and now that it came out before Rosh Hashanah, you know, so I wrote an article, and it's called God on the Campaign Trail. And what I was trying to bring out of it, which is really talks into, is, you know, everyone knows there's so many things going on in the world now. Politics, elections coming out in Canada, elections coming up soon in America. We just had elections now in Israel. And so many different things. But if you go and look, comes Rosh Hashanah, we have an election now. God is on election. Are we going to accept Him as our King, or are we not going to? And one of the differences between him and any other politician is that a politician tells you something and not necessarily is able to fulfill it. Whatever God promises you will be fulfilled. Whatever God promises on the campaign trail, quote unquote, will be fulfilled in this coming year. And one of the things that we do to accept God as our King and so on and so forth is sounding of the shofar, where we hear the biblical mitzvah to hear the shofar is to hear 30 sounds. But however, if you go and look throughout the whole day of Rosh Hashanah, we blow 100 sounds of the shofar. Why do we do that? Why do we blow the shofar? There are many different reasons. Number one, trumpets are sounded before the newly crowned king, which is God, to proclaim his sovereignty throughout the country. When you have a king that comes and becomes the king on the new country, so on, so you blow the trumpet. Same idea is that we blow the shofar as we accept God's sovereignty upon ourselves. Shofar serves as a wake-up call to do teshuvah. As it says in the Rambam, awake you sleepers from your sleep. Examine your deeds, repent, and remember your Creator. So the sound of the shofar, the wailing cry, causes us to feel remorse over our wrongdoing. The shofar inspires us and reminds us it's the day of judgment. It reminds us of when we received the Torah of Mount Sinai, that the shofar was exceedingly strong, as it says. And what do we do then? We reaffirm, and today we do the same thing, we reaffirm our commitment to the Torah. And another, and one of the last reasons is that to remind us of the binding of Isaac when Abraham offered, when Abraham got tested by God, his tenth final test to bring his son Isaac as an offering, as a sacrifice, he was told not to, and he offered a ram as a sacrifice in the place of Yitzhak. So likewise, we strive to achieve self-sacrifice in our service to God. So, you know, it's with our prayers, with the shofar, with our celebration of Rosh Hashanah, is where we connect, draw closer, spiritually, physically, to God, and re-crown Him our King.
Yeah.
Now there's a few customs, a certain food that we eat besides the regular food that we eat on Rosh Hashanah. You know, everyone has their own customs. They have a brisket dinner or a turkey dinner or whatever type of dinner you want to have. But with that, there are specific food customs that go in to Rosh Hashanah. Some of the food are, we eat challah, the bread, but it's the loaf bread, you know, it's braided into a loaf. On Rosh Hashanah, we eat round challah.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is it symbolizes the cycle of life, as well as it also symbolizes the crown of a king, which we accept, and we crown God as our king. The challah obviously is dipped in honey. We also dip an apple in honey, and we make the special prayer of the blessing on the apple, but then we add a special prayer, Yiratzon Shetechadesh Aleinu Shana Tova Mitzuka, that He should grant upon us, God,
sweet
and healthy year.
Healthy year.
We also then eat a head of a fish, or certain Sephardim will have the head of a lamb. And we do that and we say a special blessing also that we should always be the head and not the tail.
Rosh velo zanav.
Correct. So whoever doesn't know, Ilan just translated what I said in English into Hebrew.
Yeah, because it jumps the Hebrew
that's
from,
right.
From the past.
Absolutely. We eat carrot, because the Hebrew word for carrot is gezer, which comes from the root word of gezerah, which is the decree. And in Yiddish, carrot, you know how you say in carrots in Yiddish, Ilan?
You see, this one, I don't know. I'm sporadic. I'm not from Ashkenaz.
Meron.
Merit?
Meron.
Okay.
Means to multiply. So we ask God that He should multiply all the blessings that we need in our lives. That's one reason we did carrot. We do not eat on the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We don't eat nuts, because nuts, as the Hebrew word for nuts is
egos.
Now the numerical value of nuts in Hebrew is 17, and that's the same numerical value as chet, as sin.
No fit on Rosh Hashanah, no.
That's why we don't associate ourselves with that. And on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, we eat a new fruit. Which that is, then we recite the famous blessing of Shachianu. And then we have all our regular foods, you know, brisket, gefilte fish, whatever it may be. And I can't stress it enough. It is so important to have the idea of a family sitting together and having a family dinner, to be able to bring out the concept of rejoicing, of being happy, of trying to connect spiritually to ourselves, as well as making sure that we bring up and make part of their lives, of our family's lives, that God becomes part of it as well. And where can you do that? You can do that not only in shul and synagogue, but also part of the meal. And then there's another famous custom that we do, which is called tashlich, is where we walk to the river, we walk to a body of water that has fish, and we cast away our sins into the body of water. And as it says, and you will cast all of your sins into the depths of the sea. You want to get rid of it. You don't want to have anything to do with your sins anymore. Goodbye. And people also then have the custom to throw fish, to throw bread to the fish in the water. So those are some of the customs and things that we do on Rosh Hashanah. You know, sometimes we go beyond our way. We make sure that everything is good, the meals are good, and so on and so forth. But why don't we make sure that we can have people together, coming together, to be able to connect physically, spiritually, and enjoy the Rosh Hashanah service, enjoy the festivities of Rosh Hashanah, and remembering one thing, that what we did till now is what we've done. We're going to try and see what we can become different. And that's what I want to be able to wish everyone, a Shana Tova Mitzuka, healthy, sweet New Year, where God should grant everyone a lot of health, happiness, prosperity, nachas, joy from their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren if the people have. And I look forward to talking next year. This is the last interview of this year.
Yeah, next year we'll be on air.
We definitely will be.
Shana Tova, Rabbi, and Chag Sameach.
You too.
And
I'll look forward to talking next year.
Same here. Thank you.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye.